questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
This topic for like the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it just, I don't, we've just gotten so busy every single week with some calls and with other ideas, we haven't been able to get to it. But yeah, we are going to try to hit that today.
Right. We're going to make that a priority today. So,
because a lot of Christians are accused, or at least in history, mm-hmm. Christianity has been accused of murder and starting wars and violence.
Yeah, well, you look at it, you got the Crusades, you got
witch trials,
the Inquisition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're going to touch on that today, and, you know, this is where faith meets reason.
How so?
Well, it's just basically we're going to take Bible fact and fact and reason it out to try and prove the existence of God and that the Bible is actually true and written with the inspiration of God. And we contend that you don't have to get rid of reason to enjoy faith.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I mean, the Bible says faith is being sure of what you hope for. Now, being sure of something, I don't know about you, but if I want to be sure of something, that usually implies some sort of factual basis to it.
Right. And if you absolutely have even kind of an inclination that something is true, especially something that is as far-reaching as eternal life, your eternal soul,
huge.
Wouldn't you want to know?
Absolutely. I mean, we're not talking about small potatoes here.
Right.
We're talking about the most important thing in the world.
Right.
So, yeah.
The most important thing in the universe.
In the universe.
Yeah. And so we're going to take some phone calls. If you have a question, go ahead and give us a call here at the station, 823-9596. We're going to get some of those later. Or if you have any questions, go hit us online at Twitter.
Twitter, Revolution on Twitter.
Okay.
Or on our website, truthrevolution.tv.
Right. And then if questions at truthrevolution.tv.
Right. And if you just go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, you'll have all our contact information, the phone number, our email, Twitter, Facebook, all that junk.
All right. And, well, that's pretty much, hopefully we can get to all this stuff, so we're going to give it a try. But first, we're going to go ahead and go into a Bible contradiction.
Oh, yes. Bible contradictions, is it true, or does the Bible have a problem?
Bible contradiction.
All right, today's Bible contradiction comes from the Bible, evidently.
The Bible?
Yeah.
What?
It's about while Jesus was on the cross, some of the things he said. Now, some of it seems, because, you know, I've known when talking to you, I'm not going to say it does, but it seems that two passages contradict what Jesus actually said. So we're going to look at today, Matthew 27, 46 through 50, and we're also going to look at John 19:28-30.
Okay, so just so I'm clear here, it looks like Jesus, when he was on the cross,
mm-hmm.
one book says he said one thing, but another book in the Bible says he said another thing.
Right.
Okay, let's. Right. What did he say?
All right. In Matthew 27:46-50, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit.
Okay. All right, that makes sense there. Now, what's the problem here? What's the other one?
The other one, which is a little shorter, is John 19:28-30. Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Okay, so we're saying it looks like a contradiction because mm-hmm. in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Eloi, Eloi," and then he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other one, he says, "It is finished," and then he dies. Gotcha. Okay. Well, as I've been saying the last few weeks, there's when you read the Bible, you know, there's some rules you need to follow. And these aren't like any special rules. Like, if you look in the appendix of the Bible, it gives the rules. This is just like common sense when you're reading anything, okay?
Right.
Now, Norman Geisler, who's a famous apologist, put a lot of these together. I've added a few to the list. Mistake number 8 out of our list of 19 or so is assuming that a partial report is a false report.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let me give you an example here. We've got 5 guys in the radio station right now, or in our little radio booth right here.
Okay.
So if someone were to come in and say, hey, there's 5 guys in the station, and then leave, we'd say that was true.
Mm-hmm.
If someone came in and said, hey, Dave and Jeff are in the radio station, is that false? Are they missing something?
Absolutely, because they said that 5 people were in the radio station before.
But it's not really a contradiction. Stop messing with people. That's not really a contradiction. I mean, it's true that you and I are in the station.
Right.
Just because they didn't mention the other 3 people doesn't mean they're lying or they're false or
right.
that there's a contradiction.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening. One book says, hey, Jesus says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. The other one says, well, he said, it is finished, and I am thirsty. It just because the book of Matthew doesn't report him saying it's finished doesn't mean he was wrong. He just didn't report that particular fact.
Right.
The other mistake is number 10, assuming that divergent accounts are false ones. Just because there's 2 different accounts of the same event doesn't mean they're wrong.
Right. They do this with accidents and stuff like that. That's why, you know, when the police question people that seen accidents, they say, you know, 2 people may see totally mm-hmm. different things.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, if you were interviewing witnesses like a murder or something,
mm-hmm.
and they had the exact same story down to every little tiny detail and told you all the same details, you might assume they're trying to get away with something, right?
Yeah.
If you're like, where were you on the night of, you know, the 5th? And you're like, at 10:01, I entered this store, and they had red carpet, and I noticed this banner hanging out. And you ask the second person, where were you? And they're like, at 10:01, I entered this store, and they had red carpet. You'd be like, come on,
These
guys.
These stories corroborate a little bit too much.
Right, and that's what's happening here with the book in the Bible. One book is sharing that guy's how he saw it, the other guy's sharing how he saw it.
Why?
And so, you know, finally, it comes down to mistake number 19 when you read the Bible.
Okay.
Not using common sense.
Wow.
Like, come on, people, really? Just because the book of Matthew records Jesus saying, something before he dies, and John records him saying something else before he dies, I mean, that doesn't mean it's a contradiction. Now, if the book of Matthew said, before Jesus died, he spoke. And the book of John said, before Jesus died, he was absolutely silent. Then we would have a problem.
Right.
But that's not what happened. And so that kind of answers our Bible contradiction for today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. So, like I said earlier, we're going to answer some emails.
Yeah, we got some emails this week, huh?
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and tackle the, this one's pretty deep.
Okay.
Okay, it's from an anonymous friend, it says.
Okay.
He says, recently a family member of mine began pursuing a homosexual lifestyle. She doesn't want my wife and I to know and has only admitted it to a couple of people. For months now, she has kept up a relationship with us, unaware that we know. A Christian turned agnostic, she knows our stance on homosexuality and doesn't want to hear anything about it from us. My question is, where do we draw the line when it comes to interacting with her and her partner? We want to love them and not reject them, but we are unable to state our true feelings given the situation.
Okay. You know, I mean, that's a hard situation.
It is.
That you've got yourself in, because, you know, you believe one thing about the way people should live, and someone you're close to believes another way. Kind of at the end there, you said, you know, how do we do this and feel a certain way? How do we explain it or something like that? One thing I think people do too often is tell everybody how they feel.
Right.
You know, Dave, I don't particularly like your shirt today. You're wearing a Broncos shirt. But I didn't tell you that when I saw you this morning. Now, granted, like, you know, if you think someone's in sin or living a certain lifestyle that's wrong, that's a much bigger deal than a sports team, usually.
Right.
And so, I mean, but just because this person's living a certain way doesn't mean you have to confront them about it. You know, especially you said this person was a Christian, but they turned to an agnostic. An agnostic
right.
is someone who really doesn't know if God exists or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as Christians shouldn't expect to put our lifestyles on everyone else.
Right.
You know, just because I believe that that's not the way I should live, that doesn't mean everyone else would agree with me.
Right. But I'd like to interject something here.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that this person actually was a Christian at one time means that they have some kind of foundation, possibly rooted in Bible truth.
Well, and that's probably why this person is hiding their homosexual mm-hmm. behavior, because they're kind of, they just don't want to offend, or they're embarrassed when they're around this couple who's a Christian.
Right.
You know, it's just awkward for them probably. And so that's one of the reasons they're probably hiding it, is because they know these Christian friends of mine aren't going to like this. So I would say you don't need to say anything to her about it. Your main goal is to talk with this person and help them know who Jesus is again.
Right. So love them.
So love them and help them know Jesus is real. And, you know, if that's something God wants to convict in them, he can do that. But as for right now, they're not even a Christian, so we should not necessarily try to force Christian values upon them in an individual way.
Right. And some people, you know, and I've done this in the past where I tried, you know, you care so much, or you think you care so much about somebody, that you start shoving the Bible down their throat, and that's just going to make somebody turn totally the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, basically put, Christians, we're supposed to judge each other in a way, you know, help each other live better lives. But, you know, it's not really our job to judge the world. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 says this very clearly. You know, he says, "Do you not know that saints will judge the world," talking about later on, "and aren't you competent to judge trivial cases among you?" He's talking about we'll judge angels, and we're supposed to judge each other, other Christians, but we're not necessarily supposed to judge other people who don't believe in Jesus, because they have a totally different standard of living than we do. So
right.
I would just say to this person, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, when we're talking about judging,
yeah,
we're talking about doing it in love.
Right.
You know,
right.
Totally Christian-based.
Right. In 1 Corinthians 5, by the way, it says, "What business is it mine to judge those outside the church?"
Okay.
And the answer is, it's not. It's not your business to judge those outside the church.
That makes it absolutely clear.
All right.
Our next email comes from a guy named Mark.
Okay.
And he says, "Hey guys, I had a quick question for you. I had heard some people say that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Is this true? And if it is, then why do we refer to his mother as the Virgin Mary?"
Because it's catchy? No. Yeah, that's a really good question. Actually, the Catholic Church, I believe, teaches that that Mary never had sexual relations,
mm-hmm.
ever, and Jesus was born, and he doesn't have any brothers or sisters. They've got a little problem, though.
Okay.
You know what the problem is?
No.
The problem is the Bible says Jesus had brothers and sisters. If you look at Matthew 13, it says, "Aren't Jesus' sisters with us?" And it's talking about literal sisters. In other verses like Matthew 12, Mark 3, Luke 8, John 3. I mean, all these are verses where it talks about Jesus' brothers or Jesus' sisters. And it's not using this in an ethereal sense.
Right.
A lot of the Catholic interpreters.
We're making new words today.
It's like a potato, but an interpreting. If a lot of the interpreters would say, this word brother or sister really was referring to a cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But that it was originally written in Greek. The Greek word adelphos, or sister adelpha, never ever referred to cousins. It was always brothers and sisters.
Right.
And so we know Jesus had brothers and sisters.
Well, wasn't Greek usually very, very specific with their words?
Yeah. I mean, there in this case, it was specific enough to know that it wasn't. There is a definite word for cousin. There's a definite word for brother, like a real brother. And this is the word for brother and sister. Finally, Matthew 1:25 says that Mary did not have sexual relations until she gave birth to a son, Jesus. Now, if the Bible is trying to teach us that Mary never, ever had sex, it would have said Mary never, ever had sex.
True.
But it said she did not have sex until she gave birth to Jesus.
Okay.
Which would imply,
well, that Jesus was, or Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus.
And then afterwards,
that he had brothers and sisters.
Yes, and so she had sexual relations after Jesus.
So basically, he was the older sibling.
How would you like to live up to that?
Hard enough.
Why can't you do what Jesus does? He's walking on water.
Hard enough living up to my brother. I wouldn't want to try and do that. So
yeah.
Good. I feel like myth-busting today. You know, it's crazy.
Good. All right. Well, hey, if you do have a question, you can email us questions at truthrevolution.tv, or you can call 823-9596.
Yes, that'll reach us here right at the studio. Or you can go to truthrevolution.tv. You can find out all the different ways that you can connect to us.
Absolutely. I think we need to get into the wars thing because we've messed around for too long.
Let's not put this off any longer and just dive right into it.
Okay. Christians and violence. You know, the Associated Press ran this story a while ago about this guy named Joran Atlax or something like that. He's got a weird Swedish name. I can't pronounce it. But he designed these jeans with a picture of an upside-down cross on them.
Oh, okay.
And he said, "This is an active statement against Christianity. I'm not a Satanist myself, but I have a great dislike for organized religion." He said, his purpose beyond just selling the jeans is to make young people question Christianity, which has been, quote, a force of evil that has sparked wars throughout the centuries.
Right. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with questioning Christianity.
No.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, we do it every week. We do it Saturday night at our church, Revolution Church. Mm-hmm. We do it Sunday mornings here. So, you know, we've got plenty of questions. There's nothing wrong with questions at all. We just want to make sure whether or not this is based in reality. Okay. Have Christians really been a force of evil throughout the centuries?
I would say that probably no more than anybody else.
Well, we're going to find that out. But before we get into it, I just want to make it clear that it is a logical fallacy to say Christianity is wrong because Christians have done bad things.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense. You know, again, let's just use a sports analogy. Just because the Raiders have a bunch of criminals on their team doesn't mean they're a bad football team, right?
Oh, you're going to make some fans mad. But you know what? That's correct. Because they have alleged criminals on their team.
Please.
Okay. Doesn't mean they're a bad team. I understand what you're saying there.
Right. So what we have to do is look at the truth of Christianity. But nevertheless, we're going to look at Crusades, whether or not Christians really did that. We're going to look at the Inquisition, witch hunts, and then we're going to have a little conclusion for you.
All right. So hang out with us. We're going to get some of those topics coming up right after the break.
All right.
Revolution.
And we are back.
We're back.
It's Truth Revolution Show, and we are talking today about Christianity and wars.
We are. We do have one caller apparently calling in, and so, you know, why don't we jump in and take that, and then we'll hit the war thing, and I promise we're going to get to this thing today.
All right.
But if we have callers, we don't want to ignore what they need.
All right, let's go ahead and take the call. And who do we got on the line?
This is Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
All right. What's your question today?
I'd like to know...
You there?
Yeah. I'd like to know if people who are writing the Bible were right about archaeology and history. It doesn't necessarily mean that they were telling the truth about Jesus. How do we know they were telling the truth about Jesus?
All right. Where are you from, man?
Salina.
Okay. And what do you think about that? I mean, do you have any kind of opinion about that, or is this something that's just in your mind?
It's something that's just in my mind.
Okay.
Okay, so essentially you're saying if the Bible lines up with history and all, because we kind of talked about maybe hitting archaeology today, if the Bible does line up with history, that doesn't necessarily prove Jesus is God, because those guys could have lied about Jesus and then write about everything else. Thanks for that question. I think basically you have to look at the character of these guys as well. We look at whether Bible lines up with archaeology to know whether or not the Bible's accurate, whether they were basically honest and truthful and excellent recorders. When we have to ask if they really believed in Jesus and whether they did that well, we look at the lives of these guys. You know, you've got the Apostle Paul, who decided to follow Jesus, who wrote much of the Bible. He gave up tons to follow Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, he's not going to tell a lie about this. He believes that he saw Jesus risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. And so he was like a rich guy. He was becoming famous. He was one of the best leaders, the up-and-coming leaders in the entire Jewish religion. And he gave it all away to follow Jesus because he thought he saw the risen Jesus.
Right. And the thing is true is that, I mean, we talk about archaeology where it fits in with biblical truth. We're talking about archaeology being one piece of the puzzle,
right,
honestly.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're going to, you know, is the Bible correct? And if the Bible is correct in this one part, then that just bolsters the claims that the Bible is true.
That's right. It's a cumulative argument.
Right. So,
all right. Thanks, Kyle, for the call. I want to get back to these war things here. Have Christians caused crusades? You know, did we go out and kill a bunch of Muslims back in you know, 1500s, right, 1300s? Dave, do you know how many people that were accused of killing during the crusades?
Well, you said, I remember a couple of weeks ago, 70,000.
Yeah, that's right. They say 70,000 people died in the Crusades. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the actual factual number is closer to 3,000? And do you know where we get that source from?
Where?
A Muslim source.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, this is at least during the sack of Jerusalem in July 1099, okay? Mm-hmm. So during the other Crusades, other people were killed. But during this one Crusade, it was said that 70,000 Muslims were killed. It's only the actual facts were only about 3,000. Now, granted, 3,000 is still a lot of people, mm-hmm, but it is nowhere near almost 100,000.
Right.
You know, I mean, 1,000 years ago, if 70,000 people were killed, wow. But if 1,000 years ago, 3,000 people were killed, and we're still complaining 1,000 years later,
right,
that's you know, that's not a big deal. I mean, well, I mean, I said that wrong. It is a big deal, but it is not nearly as big of a deal as 70,000. So we've blown this way out of proportion.
Right, extremely exaggerated.
Extremely exaggerated it. The next one, you know, the Inquisition. People always say that more people died in the Inquisitions than in most wars.
Right.
That's bull, man. The best estimate is that around 3,000 people died in Spain as a result of the Inquisition. Mm-hmm. Now, that was between 1550 and 1800. But even some Christians were against the Inquisition.
It's 250 years.
250 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we did Christianity, did kill some people through the Inquisition. But some Christians were actually against it. So not even all, I mean,
right,
Martin Luther said, how many saints do you think the Inquisitions have killed?
Right.
You know, like how many good people do you think we've killed? Mm-hmm. I mean, and our church, Revolution Church, comes from an Anabaptist heritage where we were actually killed during things like the Inquisition.
Right. I think the problem that people make, and we talked about this earlier, is that when you look at one person and you want to base your entire opinion on how one person acts,
mm-hmm,
okay? And it's like, take Fred Phelps, for example.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Okay, look at him and judge me. Yeah. I do not have the same beliefs as he does.
That's right. Well, and we also have to remember that not everyone who bears the name of Christ actually belongs to Christ.
Right. Jesus said that himself.
Yeah. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That's just like, yeah, they always have that bumper sticker in you. Just because you, you know, are in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. You know, same
right
thing. Just because you go to a church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are. Christians should live the way Jesus lived.
Right.
So, yeah.
And Jesus said that in the end, people will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, mm-hmm, you know, calling him Lord, and Jesus is going to be like, I didn't even know you.
Exactly.
You know,
you know, the other one people talk about is the witch hunts.
Mm-hmm.
The people say that there were, do you know that people have claimed that Christianity has killed millions of people in the witch hunts?
Millions.
That's what the claim is.
Okay.
Andrea Dworak wrote a book. She says 9 million European women were burned as witches.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Mary Daly claimed millions of women.
Mm-hmm.
Pennythorpe Hughes said 9 million men and women were killed as witches. But the actual number was 40 or 50,000 over 300 years.
That's...
So, I mean, now 40 or 50,000 is a lot of people, but over the course of 300 years, so, you know, that's about 166 people a year in the entire world. So that is less than war, less than disease, less than murder, less than suicide. When you really put it per year, it wasn't very many. Now, C.S. Lewis actually makes a good point here. The reason we don't kill witches today isn't because we don't fear them. It's not because we're more humane or we're better people. It's because we're not scared of them.
Right.
If you actually thought there was someone who could have magical powers over you and could kill you and doom your children, like you'd want to fix that problem.
Right.
We just don't believe that today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason we don't deal with witches in that same way. Now, Christians really should deal with people, whether they disagree with them or not, in a humane, loving way. Jesus said, even love your enemy.
Right.
So, so I hope that answers some of those questions.
Right. Do we have time for another phone call?
Yeah, let's take one
all
more.
All right, let's take a call. Hey, you're on with Truth Revolution. Who am I talking to?
Sean.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
All right, good. What's your question today?
I was going to ask you a question.
Okay.
My question was if we have an issue with Christianity causing war, and obviously we can't lump ourselves in with people like Fred Phelps or even say Adolf Hitler, who said he started the Second World War according to his Christian beliefs. What about someone like George W. Bush, who often cited his Christian faith, and then above and beyond that, said it was his God-given right to start three different wars.
Wow, that's that's pretty deep. So you from here in Salina?
Yes.
All right. And how do you feel? I mean, are you a Republican, Democrat?
I'm a Libertarian.
Okay.
All right. Okay, first, let me get to that. We don't have a whole lot of time, but let me just say it's actually a misnomer that Hitler was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He said a couple things kind of trying to convince people to accept him, but in reality, the Nazis were atheists. Hitler said this, and this is a quote, okay? The heaviest blow that ever struck humanity was the coming of Christianity.
Ooh.
Bolshevism is Christianity's illegitimate child. Both are inventions of the Jews.
Wow.
So, I mean, Hitler said that Christianity was an invention of the Jew. I don't think he liked Christianity. And also, you know, here's a quote from, let me read the quote. A Nazi could proudly quote Nietzsche on almost every conceivable subject, and he did. On Christianity, the one great curse, the one enormous and inmost perversion, I call it the one immortal blemish of mankind. This Christianity is no more than the typical teaching of the socialists.
Wow.
So this comes from an article, Darwin to Hitler. The Nazis did not like that. You know, when it comes to like George Bush and what do we do with that, we got to make it clear that this was Bush, and his war was not a religious war because it was not voted on by churches.
Mm-hmm.
No one stood up and said, we're attacking these countries in the name of Jesus. They went in the name of the United States. We cannot fight a war in the name of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who harm you. I mean, this is,
that's kind of like in contrast to what some people believe, that you know, we as Americans, we're Christians, we're just going to go kill people.
That's right. So let's just close with a quote from Jesus today. Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High.
All right. So hang with us coming up next week.
Oh, we got Hugh Ross. He's a world-famous astronomer. You got to be on the show next week. I'm pumped about this. Everyone's laughing here in the studio. Stop laughing. It's awesome. I saw we have some more callers and questions. We'll have to catch you guys next week. Sorry about that. But join us next week at Truth Revolution. Hit our website, truthrevolution.tv.